This week, we're going to look at the most favorite psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. I just wanted to share with you something that I think is going to be very important. One of the most evil things that I've ever dealt with in my life is called stress. Stress is an evil thing. Stress at its very core is a threat. It's, whether it be real or perceived, it is a threat. It comes on you and it makes you feel as if something wrong is going to happen. Your blood pressure may go up. Your pulse may quicken, you know. Your adrenaline shoots all through your body. Stress is very, very evil. And I'm going to tell you something. Most of us don't think it's sin, but it actually is. Because more than anything else in the Word, the Lord says two different words. You know what they are? Fear not. Isn't that interesting? Fear not. God says, fear not. And so after I remembered that, I thought, my goodness, the Lord never said, you know, to us, he never said, don't worry, although that's, in essence, he's saying fear not, but he said, fear not. Don't fear, don't worry, don't fear, okay? And so what I'm going to tell you today, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit concerned about something, but if you begin to take this to the extreme where you're sweating bullets, where your pressure goes up, where you're not getting enough sleep at night, okay, you know, that becomes a disadvantage for you. So the problem is that chronic stress in your body actually causes your body never to shut down. And it needs to. It needs to rest. Many, if not most of you, are living under chronic stress. We're going to have to deal with that today. Because hundreds and hundreds of scientific studies, absolutely, doctors have said this over and over, that chronic stress is very dangerous and devastating to your physical health. It's damaging to your brain, and it will bring tremendous physical ailments to you. In fact, they have even found that most diseases are caused at the root cause is caused by stress. Physical stress, chronic stress can actually kill you. And so we're going to talk today about going from being stressed, to being blessed. Everybody say, from being stressed to being blessed. That even rhymes. That would make a nice poem, wouldn't it, Delvin? From being stressed to being blessed. Or you could say it like this. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen? I'm too blessed to be stressed. This week, right now, this morning, I want to do something very important. First of all, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the effects of stress. If you're a little bit tired, a little bit worn down, a little bit stressed, you picked a great Sunday to come to church. Because we're going to talk about some things, the seven most common sources of stress. Number one, it's worry. All right? Because a long time ago, there weren't all these things to be worried about. We didn't have identity theft, right? People didn't lose their cell phones. There are a lot of things we worry about today that our parents never had to deal with because there are new worries in a very complex world. Okay, so worry causes stress. Number two, what else causes stress? And I'm going to say this because Pastor Tom has been dedicating to fix this in his life this year. Hurry. Hurry causes stress. We want the microwave, nanosecond world that we're living in, right? It's like, pump in, pump out, get it done. Everything is going faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And this creates stress in our world, okay? Because speed actually increases stress. So if you just think about slowing down a little bit, man, you could eliminate a lot of the stress in your body and in your life. The third thing that causes stress, believe it or not, are crowds. How many of you like to be around crowds? You like to be around crowds? Okay, one person likes to be around crowds. Anybody else like to be around crowds? How many of you like to stand in line? I don't think so. Most people don't like to stand in a line, okay? Because as this world gets more crowded, people are getting more stressed out. The reason why we have this is because of the thing called urbanization. You probably have heard that big word, that is people moving into cities. Do you know that 83% of America lives in a large city? 83% of America lives in a large city. Now, 83% of America lives in a large city. In 1800, I wrote these facts down. Take these down. This is interesting. In 1800, there was only one city in the world that had 1 million people in it. It was London. It was the first big city. That was the only city on the planet that had 1 million people. Today, there are over 500 cities in the world that have over 1 million. And thousands have over 500,000. And even now, we are called, in right now, you know, there's a mega city in India that has 32 million. And Tokyo, which has 36 million. Mexico City has 35 million. These are enormous cities. You can go block after block without ever seeing any dirt. That's amazing to me. And that causes traffic, doesn't it? And traffic, lots and lots and lots and lots of traffic causes lots and lots and lots of stress, lots and lots of standing in line, lots and lots of mumbo jumbo, okay? So that's another thing that causes stress. What else causes stress? Multiple choice. Have you ever gone shopping and you look and go, I don't know what to pick. It's this brand and this brand and this brand, and one of them has this other flavor and one of them has, I mean, look at the toothpaste even. There's minty fresh, and then there's non-minty fresh, and then there's cherry, and then there's strawberry, and then there's berry or whatever, you know, blueberry. You know, there's all kinds of things. You go, well, I don't know what to do, you know. And how about cough syrup? I mean, you go to, what kind of cough syrup am I supposed to get? I mean, all these things cause stress. You think, man, going to Starbucks will be fun, right? But then you drive up to Starbucks and you go, I don't know, this one looks good, this one looks good, this one looks, and you know what that's doing? That's causing stress. Why not keep life a little simpler? You know, pick your favorite thing and just go and get it. You know, man, just eliminate the stress. You know what I mean? Just find ways of simplifying our life. Because if we don't, we're going to get caught in this mumbo-jumbo called stress. Another thing that can cause a lot of stress is, I think, the loss of privacy. Actually, it's very, very hard lately. You know, if you're keeping your record on how many times you have no privacy during the day, you're always with a person or with people. That's kind of dangerous because really we do need that time, that time to, I call it cave time or the downtime. I mean, after I come home from a busy day with the daycare or at church or whatever, I like to what I call detoxify, because you need to just kind of sit and veg for a few minutes. Just be by yourself. And then add the God element to that, where you add God and you begin to pray. Because if you don't, things will get too busy and too hairy, okay? Another thing that causes stress is a fear of the future. Have you ever thought about this? But the Lord is our shepherd, the Bible says, we shall not want for any good thing. Take that and put that in your mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for any good thing. That's a good replacement in your mind for all the other stuff that's there or that comes across. How do we become healthier? Well, the Bible says this in Proverbs 14:30. I'm going to read this. Peace of mind makes the body healthy. So let's talk about how we do this. Number one, take notes, okay? Take notes. Look to God to meet all of your needs. Look to God to meet all of your needs. That's the first thing David said when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It actually calms us down by causing us to trust in the Lord. Sometimes people put their security in their job, or they put their security in their marriage. Have you ever put your security in something that failed and then you didn't have security. And so what we need to do is find our security not in our money, because there's a lot of ways we can lose money. As your pastor today and as your friend, I recommend that you never put your security in anything that can be taken away from you. You should always put your security, all right, in something that can never be taken away from you, something that you can always trust. When we were at small group last Wednesday, I noticed that Opal was so cute. She was talking to me today, rather on Wednesday. She was talking about this man who always comes out and he shines and polishes his car. And it seems to be his security because it's just overwhelming. It's an excessive compulsion for making that sure that car is perfectly shiny. Well, you know what? That is actually putting your security in something that will fail. So you can't lose, though, if you put your security in your relationship with Jesus. If you put your security in your relationship with Jesus Christ, he will meet all your needs because he promised to do that. The Lord is your shepherd, so you will not have any need. That's basically what it says. I shall not want. I will have no needs. I have nothing that I don't need. I have nothing that I need because Christ is my life. Now, I'm going to give you this logic, and I want you to think about this, okay? If God loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you, don't you think he loves you enough to take care of your everyday needs? Don't you think he does? If he loved you enough to send his son to die for you, don't you think he knows how to take care of every single need that we have? So let's stop looking to people and start looking to the cross. All right? Look to God to meet all of your needs. Notice he doesn't say, you know, in the Bible it says in Isaiah 30, 15, it says, the sovereign Lord says, in returning to me and waiting for me, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. It doesn't say, not in anxiety and fear, not in hard work and planning, not in self-motivation and positive mental attitudes. He says, in quietness and confidence is our strength, for the Lord is our shepherd. In fact, I want you to make this affirmation out loud. I want you to say it right now, okay? Every time you start to get stressed out, you need to pause and say this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Just pause and say that. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The minute you start to get stressed, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And I'll assure you, if you don't have it at that moment, he'll get it to you. Just say that simple line. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. When you start to get stressed out, the Lord is your shepherd. He's going to provide. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you either provision, protection, someone is going to come and do something, or God himself sovereignly will come breakthrough. Hallelujah. Once you've laid that, it's the bedrock of everything that we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All right? Number two, write this down. I need to obey God's instructions about rest. Ooh, that is a very important thing. I need to obey God's instructions about rest. Right now, I have so many things that I have on my plate. You couldn't imagine all the people that I need to talk to and everything I need to get lined up and blah, blah, blah. You know, we have on February 16th, and I'd like you to pray about this, we have our licensing agent come in to inspect everything in our daycare on February 16th. She's going to be coming through, and she's the one that looks at everything. She makes sure it's all good, you know. And, you know, I could be so stressed out about that. I could say, well, what if she finds this? What if she does this? What if she shuts the place down? You know, and I said to myself, Lord, he who is faithful, who started, will be faithful to finish this work. So I'm not going to be stressed. I'm going to do the best I can and let the Lord take care of the rest. You see, we need to obey God's instructions about rest. I need to obey God's instructions. How many of you feel like you could just never get caught up sometimes? Think about this, though. Okay? You look to God to meet your needs. Then you obey God's instructions about rest. Think about it. If God wanted to, he could have created human beings without the need for sleep. But they need sleep. So why did he create you with that need for sleep? Because you spent a third of your life sleeping. And Jesus actually said this. He said, you know, well, God never gets tired. Thank God. He never gets tired. But he was modeling something for us in the book of Psalm 23. He said this, he makes you to lie down. Do you know that generally, you know, sheep don't sleep very easily. They don't. They don't sleep very well. So he makes them to lie down. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God said, I created this idea to take 7 days in a week and take one day off, and that one day is supposed to be for recreation, for rest, for worship, for having a good time. You see, don't get guilty about that. Don't be guilty about taking some time for rest. In fact, the Lord even said, this is a beautiful scripture, and I'm going to show you this. He makes you to lie down, but there's another beautiful one here. And I love this one. In Exodus 34, 2, it says, 6 days are set aside for work, but every seventh day you must rest completely. That's the word he said, completely. You must rest completely. Even during your seasons of plowing and harvest, you must observe a Sabbath day of rest. So what does that mean? Now I'm going to show you another scripture that shows you the importance of this rest. And it's a beautiful word. Some of you may need to take a little longer. You know, if your body is really worn down, sometimes you need to take a little longer rest. It's called a vacation. Because what that does, and the Bible says this, in the Bible there was a time where they planted, but there was a certain year, for 1 year, that they were not to plant at all, for 1 year, because it would give the soil time to be restored, and it would be healthier. And so that's why regularly you need to take some time, one day a week for a Sabbath, and then also you need to get a rest and a vacation where you can totally restore your body. Man was made to live in a garden, not in a skyscraper. Man was made to live in a garden, not a skyscraper, not behind the wheel, not in front of a computer or behind a desk. He was made to live in a garden. When God created man, he put him in the garden. He didn't put him, you know, like I said, behind the wheel or behind the desk. He wasn't made to live in everything, in anything really concrete. God made him to live in a beautiful place. I love that. Okay? So what you need to do is you need to understand sheep aren't smart enough to get the rest they need, so the shepherd will actually make you lie down. Now, get this. If you're smart enough, you'll do it before he makes you lie down. Some people are made to lie down in the hospital. Some people are made to be laid off because of sickness and disease. Okay? God has wired your body in such a way that if you don't take time off, your body will make time off. Isn't that interesting? Anybody want to give a testimony about that? Okay, where you got sick. So just keep working and working and working and keep working and working and working and working. Never take a vacation. Never take time off. Never take time off. You'll get sick as a dog because God wired you to obey his commandments. Isn't that good? Getting enough sleep is essential to stress management. Very important that you get enough rest. Okay? My best requires rest. I always think about that. My best requires rest. You're not wasting time when you're resting. So many people think, I want to set you free from condemnation right now. You're not wasting time when you're resting. You're giving your body a chance to recharge. Okay? It's recharging. It's better to have loafed and lost than to never have loafed at all. Okay? All right, that's why God gave us a Sabbath. Okay, that's why God gave us today. It's called the Sabbath rest, where you rest your body, you refocus your spirit on the Word of God. Okay, you get charged up. You say, this is the command of the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. That's worship when you're in the presence of the Lord like this. And then you recharge your emotions, okay? So what you like to do, do it. You know, some of the fun things that you like to do. Different things recharge different people. We talk about that. How many of you would like to just get recharged by going off to the mountains? Or some of you like to just, Jesus said, come apart. He actually told his disciples this when they were working so hard. He said this, come apart and let's go off to the desert. And out there, there's going to be a time where we just spend with each other. Isn't that cool? Jesus said that. Jesus needed that. So his disciples followed because they all needed a time to relax. But Jesus didn't feel guilty about it. Did you know that, get this, during the French Revolution, the French government canceled the Sabbath. And they said every day is going to be a work day. How long did that last? After a couple years, they had to reinstate it because the health of the whole nation was crumbling. You need this in your life. You need a Sabbath where you come, you get charged up, your spirit man gets charged up in church. You just say, oh, God, that's so good. God, that's rich. God, that's what you're saying to me personally. Then you go home, you take a nap, you do something fun that you like to do. You watch the Super Bowl. Or whatever. You do something that is fun for you. You get recharged. You let your emotions, you know, just be soaring high. You know, I heard a guy who said to his pastor, Pastor, I tried to get a hold of you all day on Monday. The pastor said, I'm sorry, that was my day off. And the man said, the devil never takes a day off. And the pastor said, yeah, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil. Okay. That's why some of us are so mean, because we're so grumpy, we're so stressed, okay? So you want to honor that. Obey God's instructions about rest. And so then how do you rest? Number three, you recharge your soul with beauty. With beauty, things that are beautiful. Beauty is an incredibly important thing in this stress management. You find things, you know, it's amazing, because beauty is... it's so interesting. I mean, you look at art and music, and I believe those two things are beautiful. They're caused to refresh us, art and music. Now, remember I said we've come a long way from the Garden of Eden, okay? But God wants us to live in this garden. So literally get outside if you can, even in the snow, play in the snow, frolic around, just take walks outside. Start the day with God and not the media. Ooh, I know I'm just going to shoot someone in the hand right here by saying this, but it's important. You know, before you go and read any text message, before you check your email, before you turn on some stupid talk radio show where they're nagging at each other and yelling and complaining about everything, okay, get in touch with God. Get in touch with the peace of the Lord, the rest of the Lord. The first 7 minutes of your day will set the mood for the day. It's been proven. The first 7 minutes of your day set the whole mood for the day. So what do you do with those first 7 minutes? You pray, you worship Him, you thank Him. Okay? You don't need to turn on the bad news and the news. You need to get the good news inside of you. The good news. You need to let the first 5-10 minutes of your day be with the Lord. It will dramatically improve your day. And guess what? Intentionally put beauty around you. I mean, I like to decorate. You know one of the reasons why I like to decorate so much? I like to decorate because it's beautiful. You know, Tracy here has adorned our sanctuary day after day, year after year with beauty. So when we walk in here, we see something beautiful. We see the fellowship hall beautiful. We thank you for that, Tracy. She beautifies the place. We beautify our homes. Sometimes we even beautify ourselves, you know, because who wants to look at an ugly thing in the mirror, you know? I mean, basically, we take the time to intentionally put beauty around us. Pieces of art or music, they're inspiring. Okay? And so listening to music that's beautiful, it actually is proven to lower your stress level. So you need this in your life. Art and music are beautiful things to do that. I listen to music almost all the time in the background. I just listen to my praise music. I even strap it right on my thing at the daycare. I've got this little cell phone that has music playing in the background all the time, and I pop it right onto my pocket, and I'm walking around listening to the beautiful praise music everywhere I go. It's because music is meant to soothe and relax you and build your inner man up, okay, as you worship the Lord. So when you get stressed out, I've heard some people just go home, they play the guitar, like Brother Bill probably just plays the guitar on his own, writes some music. It's beauty in action. You're hearing music, you're hearing, looking at art, you know. I don't know, I don't even care if you have a kazoo. Take the kazoo and go, you know, and play it. God never said, make a beautiful noise. He said, make a joyful noise. Okay, so we need to make a joyful noise. And like I said last week, I don't know if you all heard this, but it has been documented through Swedish studies and research that whenever people come together and they praise God together in the sanctuary, the reason why we need to be together to do that is because it will lower your stress levels. It's been proven to lower your blood pressure. It's proven to make your body healthier. Everything that's group things. That's why the Lord says, come together. Don't forsake the habit of assembling yourselves, okay? Because there is benefits in that for health purposes too, is that we charge each other up. I think there's a lot of ugliness in the world. I think there is. I mean, you look at the news, it's just ugly. And if you want to get stressed out, just watch the news all the time. Oh man, you're going to get stressed out because you're going to find all kinds of diseases that you're going to be worried about are going to come upon you. And you know, I only watch, you know, things or read about things if I have to research it or whatever. But I don't just feast on that. Man, that stuff is going to toxic your soul. Some of you, you know, you need to fast the news. I hate to tell you this, but you could miss the news for the next 50 days, and it's probably not going to make one big a difference for you. You know, if you read the newspaper one day later, you realize how much it really doesn't matter. The media is tuned in to whatever they think is going to be sensational, okay? If you research that and if you feast on that all the time, you know what? It's not going to be good for you. So let me tell you this. If you're stressed by watching the local news, why don't you turn it off and read the good news, okay? Let's read the good news. If something starts to stress you out, just turn it off. Turn it off. All right? And start reading the good news. So you recharge your soul. Number four. Ah, I love this one. The reason why we can get detoxified and go from being stressed to blessed is because, this is important, is because you can make up your mind in all your ways to acknowledge God. Say, Lord, I'm going to talk to you about any little thing. You think, oh, God doesn't care. You think God doesn't care about the way, you know, you do your hair in the morning? You think God doesn't care about your, you know, what you eat? Oh, yes, he does. He cares about every little detail of your life. He wants to be involved in everything. It makes him feel important. He is important. He wants to be acknowledged. The Bible says, in all things, acknowledge me. In all things, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So, if God says you need wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, then let him ask, and he'll receive. I want you to write this down, okay? Why don't you write this down if you're taking notes? Please write this down. God will guide you at the right time. At the right time, he will guide you. Not in the wrong time, because his timing is perfect. He's never early. That's what I've learned about Jesus. He's never early, but he's never late either. Why is he never early? Because he keeps you trusting him. He wants us to depend upon him, all right? And if you have made decisions about next year, he's probably not going to give you those total answers about next year right now. He may give you a little bit of a vision, but he won't give you the full picture. Because what I've seen about God is it's a glorious unfolding, and he keeps unfolding things to us in his time. So I believe you're going to do that. I believe that you're going to take this scripture and home in on it. In Psalm 23, it says, he guides me in the right path for his name's sake. So say this with me out loud. Say, God, order my steps and guide me this day. In fact, the Lord gave me another scripture today as I was studying for this. He said, sufficient this day is the evil. Now, what does that mean? That means that whatever happens today, whatever is evil, is sufficient for today. In other words, he's only going to give you grace for one day at a time. He doesn't give you grace for tomorrow, today. Think about that. He gives you grace for today, today. And that's why it's so essential that we pray every day. Because Jesus said, sufficient for the evil is the day thereof. So he's just saying, I'm going to give you grace for each day. That's why in all of our ways we need to pray and acknowledge him. Because we'll have the grace for every day then. So go to God for guidance and pray. Number five, write this down. Trust God in the dark valleys. We're all going to go through dark valleys. We're going to go through many of them in our life, right? In all those valleys, the Lord says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And Psalm 142, verse 3 says, when I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. Oh, isn't that a powerful scripture? When you feel like you're ready to give up about something, God knows what you need to do. So when you go through a loss, okay, there's nothing wrong with going through grief. Some people think, oh, grief is a sin. Grief is not a sin. God never said grief is a sin. It is not a sin. There's only one thing. In fact, actually, grief is a godly emotion. If you get stuck in life, sometimes you need to go back to the places where you had that grief, and you need to mourn a little bit. Because grief is actually healthy. You may need to go back and grieve some things in your life that you've messed up. Because if you never grieve, you won't get unstuck. Because sometimes you're stuck in a place. And you've got to grieve something. It's a godly emotion. In fact, I've learned that if I don't get some things out of my emotions, if I go through a hard time, if I don't get them out, God says it'll start to fester and it'll stink. And it'll lead to other bad emotions like fear and hate and worry and all these, you know, nasty things. But if you've had a loss, something's hurt you, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to take it to God. Grief's a good thing. On the other hand, there's something called fear. And fear is a bad thing because the Bible not once in the Bible does it say, grieve not or sorrow not or weep not. Or cry not. You can do all those things. Okay, but it does say, fear not. So if we don't grieve, sometimes we start to fear. Because God often says this, blessed are those that mourn, for you shall be comforted. So if you're going through a grief, a loss, let it go with God. Take it to the Lord. Cry about it. Weep about it. Mourn inside. And say, God, I take this to you, okay? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God says, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because God's rod comforts us when we're going through evil things. Tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, sword. You know, when people hate us or, you know. Remember, here God's using the shepherd metaphor here as he's speaking to us today, okay? Sheep and shepherd. Shepherds always carry a rod and a staff. You know what they do? These are the two tools they're used to protect the sheep, to ward off wolves, protecting the sheep. He says, I'm not going to allow you to have to stress out because I am your protector. I've got this rod and I'm banging up against these enemies for you. I'm going to do it for you. Trust me. The battle is the Lord's. Wow. When we say that, the battle's the Lord's. The God has a rod and a staff and he's banging up against the enemy. He's pushing them out. He's pushing them away. He's sharpening you so that you're going to be able to trust God in the dark valleys, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't worry. Some of you today, I know that you're going through that valley. I can feel that. I can feel some of that for you. Maybe it's a shadow of debt or conflict, personal conflict with people, or depression. Shadows are sort of scary. You think about it. They're kind of scary. If you thought, ooh, it's a shadow on the wall. Ooh, shadow moving. You know what? I think sometimes shadows are always bigger than the source, though. Isn't that true? It's your fear of that greater than the actual event. It's a fear of something that you fear. It's, you know what? It's only a shadow. God says, if you walk through the shadow of death, it's only a shadow. It's not the real thing. See? It's the, even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death. He didn't say even though you walk through death. He says it's a shadow. It's only a shadow. That's good news, isn't it? It's only a shadow. Wherever there's a shadow, there's light. You can't have a shadow without light. So the key when you're going through the valley of shadow of death is not to be afraid. Okay? It's only a shadow. Because as long as you keep your eyes on the light, you see that light, it'll be there. God will be there for you. That's how you lower your stress levels. And write this down. In the dark valley, you let God be your defender. Ooh, yeah. God is so good. Another common source of stress. How many of you have ever had people criticize you? Ooh, isn't that nasty? Criticize you or attack you. Or there are people in your life who simply don't like you. You know, there's always 10% of the people in this world that aren't going to like you. That's proven. You could be the most wonderful person in the world, the most awesome person, and do everything right. And there's going to be 10% of the people that aren't going to like you for some reason. Okay? They criticize you, maybe out of jealousy or out of fear. You know, maybe there's people in your own family who don't like you and you're saying today, yeah, I wish I could take care of this. Well, you know what? God will. God will take care of it. God will do that. You know, maybe I've learned this in my life. If people are having a hard time with me, just walk away and forgive. Just walk away. Don't feed on that. Don't feast on that. Don't get into any arguments. When that happens, you know, if someone's attacking you and they're always putting you down, they're always criticizing you, when that happens, your natural response is really, it is to attack back, to say something back, to retaliate, to open your mouth. But when you get even with someone who's criticizing you, you're on the same level as they are. Think about that. When somebody is criticizing you and you start to get into it, you're on the same level as they are. But if you forgive them, okay, that puts you above them. If you walk away, just walk away, just forgive, you know, or retaliate in a way that's calm, that's saying how much you like them or I'm sorry or whatever, you know, it's just like you're better because you haven't embrace that spirit of negativity. You just calm. Okay? Now, in our society, the world is getting more and more rude, don't you think? I mean, everywhere you go. Would you agree with that? One of the things that's causing this, I believe, I hate to say this, but one of the things that's causing this is the internet. Because the internet allows you to hide anonymously behind the screen and spout out all kinds of vile things against other people. It is so true. It is so true. And you don't feel. You type a little thing, press the button, bam. That's it. You said it. It's like there's no emotion to that. Things that people would never say to you face to face. They wouldn't even have the courage to say face to face. They spout off and they will minimize you. They'll belittle you. They'll be rude to you. They'll be criticizing you. They'll attack you on the internet. And all they're doing is revealing the smallness of the heart. I want you to remember this. And I want you to be better than this, okay? Be better than this. Be better than this. When you hear people say nasty things, remember this. Little people belittle people. Little people belittle people. Great people make people feel great. So when someone's always belittling other people or saying something wrong about this, you know, and accusing you or trying to upset you in front of you by saying all the things that you're doing wrong, just remember, it's only revealing the smallness of their heart. It's not hurting you. Okay? So when you respond with either walking away, I don't know how many times in the daycare, you know, you hear these words. I'm there watching the children sometimes. Johnny hit me. Bobby hit me. Mary did this. You know what I usually say to them? Walk away. Walk away and forgive. Walk away and forgive. Because you're a bigger person. Okay? How do you handle rude people? How do you handle mean people? Remember last week I said to blame is to be lame. To blame is to be lame, and I don't want to be lame. Okay? You don't. Just let God handle it. Let God handle them. You can let God be your defender, and write that down. Number 6, let God be your defender. David was a pro at this. I'm telling you, he was a pro at that. Because David knows what it means to be attacked, not just emotionally or verbally, but even physically. Saul was coming against him. David was a young man anointed by Samuel, God's prophet, literally. But he had the spirit of Saul haunting him all the time. The spirit of dead, cold, evil, criticism, religion. Blah. It was done, though, you know, it was yucky. So his family even resisted him. His family didn't even like him. So poor David was in hiding. He was hiding in caves. He was hiding. He was being maligned. He was being demeaned. He was being put down. He's being judged. He was trying to be nice to people, but everyone was trying to figure him out. And they couldn't figure him out because David was a man after God's own heart. Now, if you're being criticized constantly, look at what David wrote. He never said a bad word against the king. He would never attack back against King Saul. He would never retaliate. He only said good. David said in Psalm 23:5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil." What was David talking about here? It was a metaphor. He was saying, God's so good to me. David, a banquet. I'm going to set a banquet for you in front of your enemies. I'm going to anoint your head with oil. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 2, David said, "How I love you, O Lord. You are my defender against criticism and everything else. My protector, my strong fortress. In you I am safe, and you will protect me like a shield." Does David sound stressed out here? I don't think so. Does he sound worried? I don't think so. God was in control because he acknowledged God. It takes a lot of faith to rest, though, when you're under attack. It takes a lot of faith to know that God's for you. But see, that's what you got to know, that God loves you. That's the foundational truth of every believer. Jesus loves me, this I know. But we got to let that soak in. Jesus loves me, this I know. He loves me. He loves me. You say it over and over again. He loves me. You are most like Christ, though, when you remain silent under attack. Jesus was constantly attacked. We often think, you know, Jesus was perfect. Do you know Jesus? Jesus had a lot of people who hated him, who couldn't figure him out, common, ordinary, everyday people that couldn't figure him out, that didn't like him. You know, it was funny because it seemed like all the really bad people liked Jesus. The pimps, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the crooks, the thieves,
the outcasts, they all loved Jesus. The lepers, everybody who had a big need, you know. And so he went to them. And then in the process of that, they called him a glutton, a drunk person, the son of the devil, they called him. My goodness. Jesus never retaliated, though. They never retaliated. You know, I think to myself, how many times we just got to stay calm and carry on. I love that T-shirt. I got to get one of those someday. Just stay calm and carry on. And know that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You are most like Christ when you remain silent in criticism. I tell you a little secret. I've learned this from experience, okay? This is important. I've learned this from my personal experience. When you do this, when you are silent under criticism, you gain more power and more authority and more influence and more anointing. Your critics actually end up helping you out then. They think they're hurting you, but when you respond correctly, it actually helps you. Because when people criticize you unjustly, Jesus said this, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for what? Great is your reward in heaven." Not only are you going to be rewarded in heaven, but get this, when you refuse to retaliate, but you respond in love and you say nothing, okay, look at this powerful scripture, 1 Peter 4:19, and I'm going to read it to you. Powerful. When you respond, you stay calm and carry on. "So if you are suffering according to God's will," the Lord says, "keep doing what is right." And by the way, notice some suffering is God's will. It is. Some people say suffering is never God's will. They just have stepped right out of the Bible. Okay? They just have never read the Bible, because it says right here, some suffering is God's will. It says, "So if you are suffering according to God's will," then it says, "trust yourself to God who has made you, for he will never fail you." Wow. Woo, glory. I just preached myself happy right there. I'm just happy. I'm just praising the Lord right now with you. How many of you ever suffered for the will of the Lord? Because, you know, you were doing something right. Well, God says this. If you trust yourself to the Lord, you commit your soul to the Lord, God is going to never fail you. Hallelujah. And then I close with this last thing. Number 7. Expect God to finish what he started in you. Because of this, it says, "Surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life." Now, I expect God to finish what he started in me. I know that he's really good at that. He's not going to let my future be bleak, you know? So, are you kind of like one of those people that are what-ifers? Like, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or what if I get sick? Or what if? Are you a what-if person? Okay? Are you a what-if person? It leads to tremendous stress. Just forget it. Because God gave us a promise, and promises are better than what-ifs. Right? Promises are better than what-ifs. He gave us a promise. He told us he would do this, and so that's what we count on. Psalm 23, it says, "Surely, I tell you this," he says, "surely," or "verily, verily," Jesus would say it like that, "verily, verily, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life." Hey, are you looking back there for it? Something's following you. Maybe you should get up in the morning and look. Hey, goodness and mercy, they're following me today. That's funny, but I mean, it's true. God said it. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Now, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live in heaven forever. You know, when a shepherd has a flock of sheep, he usually has a couple of sheepdogs. He's leading from the front, but those sheepdogs are in the back, and they're keeping everybody kind of, you know, in line, so to speak. So these two sheepdogs are behind you. God's leading,
But the two sheepdogs that are behind you that are kind of helping you through are something called goodness and mercy, following you all the days of your life. So, Laurel, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Amanda, goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. Mike, Michael, goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. So are you, Janice. They're following you because God promised that. Okay? Now, we can either run from God's viewpoint, Tracy, or we can embrace it. Let's embrace God's viewpoint right now. Okay? How do you lower your stress? Okay? I'm going to say, number one, let's set this goal. Let's be sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know what burden you're carrying, but Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For many years, I never understood that. I'm a really hard worker, and I like to work. I really do. I really enjoy working, but I was actually working too much, and my body was starting to get worn out and stressed out. That's why I take every 6 months, I take a sabbatical or a rest, because it recharges my body. And so I'm going to be able to go maybe 90, 100, 110, 120. I'm believing for it. I'm believing that I'm going to be this old lady just up here just going, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I just just believe it. I'm going for the gold, okay? Now, for many years, I never understood that verse, okay? And it, as a kid, I didn't know what that meant, that yoke. What's the yoke? I mean, something you eat, you know what I mean? The yolk. I thought about eggs, you know, until I researched that and found out this, that the value of a yoke is that it halves the load on something. Okay, without a yoke, you've got one cow that's going to pull the entire load by themselves. But if you yoke up a cow with another cow, the two of them pull that yoke, that load together. All right? So Jesus said, take my yoke, because the yoke that I have has two heads in it. It's got two places. Take my yoke. All right? Because I've got a heavy enough burden myself, Lord. I can't do this myself. So what Jesus says, he says, take my yoke. It sounded to me like he's going to give me something. You know, what's this yoke all about? And he says, that's, you know, this yoke that he's talking about is what he's saying is, I'm going to share your load, church. I'm going to take the load off of you. If you come into my yoke, take it. Okay? He says, come. He says, learn and take. So take my yoke upon you. I'm going to share your problem. I'm going to share your load. I'm going to take your stress. I'm going to pull it with you. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to pull it with you. I'm going to pull it with you. Praise God. Can I use this one? All right. Do something this morning, okay? This thing was a burden for me. I was yoked on my neck with this thing. Now I'm free, okay? So what I would like us to do right now is close our eyes. And I just want you for a few minutes just to close your eyes. And what the Bible says is to move from a place of being stressed to being blessed. And I'm going to play a song right now. I'm going to play a song about the temple of the Lord, coming into the temple, all right? When we come into the temple, O Lord, we worship the Lord. We honor him. And in the temple, there's a place the Bible calls, in the Old Testament, there was a place called the horns of the altar, or the altar itself, where the Bible says there was an erected mercy seat with angels there. And what I'd like you to do right now is to get rid of that load of stress that you're carrying today and to come into that special place with the Lord. Lord, I know there are many people who are tired and worn today, stressed by worry and conflict. I pray that they would come.
When
to
I come into
Presence, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would come, that we would enter into the Sabbath rest, rest for our bodies, refocusing our spirit. Holy Spirit, come. We ask that you would fill us with your blessing right now, and your anointing would saturate each person. God, starting your day, this day, today, in the right way, that you would be our defender, our protector, our fortress, Lord, that you would protect us like a shield. We let you, Lord, do what you want in our life. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Remain in the presence of the Lord and just worship him. Holy Spirit, come. May your anointing fill us. We thank you, Lord. Quiet waters. Thank him right now that
that you're free from confusion. For I am nothing, God, I'm nothing without your love. Lord Jesus, breathe the breath of life into me. Then will my life bring glory unto thee, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. With your spirit right now. Just ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. God, we thank you for the filling of your spirit. In Jesus' name, come to the Lord, you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and God will give you rest. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Thank you right now. You know, if there's any of you right now that are carrying an extra heavy burden and a load that's too difficult, the Lord just says to cast it upon him, for he cares for you. So you can literally take it right now and cast it over on him, for he will care for you. Come to the Lord right now and just say, just as I am, Lord, I know that I'm accepted in the Beloved. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Hallelujah. Brother David, the Lord has a word for you today. David Robinson, the Lord says that he's well pleased with you, that he sees you as being a precious jewel in his hands, that is being polished, and every part of that facet of your life is being polished right now, and you will come through pure and shining, not a spot or wrinkle on you. The Lord says he will bring you through, for he loves you and he delights in you, and you are his precious jewel, a precious jewel, a pearl of great price. For even in this time, you're being refined. You're being refined and being perfected, but you will come through, no problems, no worries. God will bring you through. Jesus will do that. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, Sister Janice, the Lord has a word for you also. He says,
in this time of trial and difficulty, the Lord says it's been one fiery dart after the next. But don't ever doubt that the Lord is with you or that you're in the right place, because you are. The Lord says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver you out of every one of them. Everyone. He will bring you through. Because God's well pleased with you. The Lord has a place for you. He has a place for you. And the Lord says, continue to just sow to the Spirit and you'll reap from the Spirit. Continue to plant yourself and the Lord will continue to reap. You'll reap the harvest of being planted like you are. You'll reap the harvest, says the Lord.
And I welcome with open arms, praise God. Just as I am, I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be just as I am.
Sister Tracy, the Lord has a word for you. He says to save up your pennies for a vacation. Very important for you and your family. The Lord is going to give you that break. He's going to open that time up, and it's going to change your whole life. This is a season. This is a time. Set it aside. Do it, and do it right now. Because the Lord is going to do something fantastic for you. And it won't be long. Tom will have another job. Just stand right now. Stand. God will sustain you right now. Just bless the Lord, okay? Just thank Him. I know that there's a provision and a protection for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a protection for you. Father, I thank you. Thank you for Desiree. Thank you for Michael, Lord. May the hand of blessing be upon this family. The Lord says that you have been very, very much of a delight to Him. You're a pleasure for Him, both of you. He delights in your worship and He delights in your prayers. So continue to pray and keep on pressing through the difficult times, because the Lord says He has a place and a part for you in the kingdom of God. You've not seen all of it yet, but keep on pressing, because you're going to see it all. You're going to see everything that God's intended for you to be. Opening doors that no man can shut for both of you. Giving you raises. Giving you places where you'll be honored on your jobs. The Lord's well pleased with you, so continue to praise Him, because He's going to give you those blessings and those raises. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And Miss Amanda, sometimes you may feel as if things are pretty tough because you've come right from some place to something totally different, but the Lord says you're in the right place. God's placed you here, and you're literally what He calls an apostle of faith, because you took everything and you abandoned it all to come follow God and His calling. That's an apostle, a messenger, a sent one, and you've been sent here by God, and God's going to continue to season you and train you for great work. Great and mighty things are prepared for you. So don't ever give up, okay? Because you're going to see the fullness of the vision, and it's way bigger than you could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Father, let's just praise the Lord right now. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the Lord. Father, I thank you for the anointing upon this family. In the name of Jesus, that the peace that passes all human understanding would rest upon them, that you would cover them with your blood. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. The Lord God says, be not weary of well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. The struggle that you may have, Lord says, is going to dissolve. Family issues are going to leave. The Lord says He's placed you in the place of protection here. In this church, there are people that believe in you and love you. And this is the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So remember, whenever you're going through difficult times, your families, God says the family members are going to see the glory of the Lord, particularly your son and your brother. He's going to see some mighty things in his life. So don't stop praying for him, okay? He'll see it. Just keep praying. Father, we worship you. Can we all stand up together today and just honor the Lord with our life as we just commit our works to the Lord and just commit to the Lord to say that you're going to get the rest that you need, okay? God will be your defender. He will be your protector. He will protect you like a shield. God, when my soul gets all worried and when my soul gets all hassled, Lord, I'm going to commit today to keeping that Sabbath rest, refocusing my spirit upon you, recharging my emotions, and taking time every day for a little while just to slow down so I don't get too busy for you, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. And thank you for my brothers and sisters that keep me accountable to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Why don't you turn to your brother or your sister and say, hold me accountable that I need to obey God's instructions about rest. Okay? I need to do that. Get enough rest. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We love you. We'll see you downstairs for some snacks, I believe.